Test 1, 2, 3.
Test 4, 5, 11.
Boop.
Welcome to Pizza Rainbow, episode 34.
34
on the floor.
Ugh. We talk a lot about some real current events this week, but it won't be that current because you'll hear this next week.
It's next week now, bitch.
But then you can relive all of these current event moments in your life and be like, remember when that all happened last week? It's great. It's like watching an episode of Best Week Ever.
We're doing it.
All right, let's do it right now.
Ow.
Here we go. Sup, Pulsin.
Just living the dream with my friend Amber.
Woo-hoo. We're just enjoying and savoring and reveling in our time together right
yes.
now.
Yep. Working on beer number two. It's going to get really real.
It's so nice out, guys, that we decided that instead of what we do all the time, which is we podcast first and then we drink later, we decided that it was so nice that we're going to have a beer first. Get us loosened up and then come and do the podcast. I feel like it was a good decision.
Although I feel like we just really stumbled upon something amazing for Pizza Rainbow t-shirts. Like on the back, it can say podcast first, drink later.
Maybe. I like that. Yeah, we need to come up with Pizza Rainbow swag.
Yeah, because then we can hit it all over the world.
Yeah.
All over the continuous United States. I don't fucking care. Let's just get it out there.
That's right. Yeah,
Guam.
For listeners who don't know, I am moving to Portland in a couple weeks.
Well, I was hoping you wouldn't say it because I'm not
outside. Sorry. It's not the end of the podcast, though. We're going to learn how to do it across the miles. Kyle, our awesome producer over at mathishard.net. Shout out to mathishard.net. He's going to teach us how to do it because they do it for Remakers Mark. So
yeah. He's going to be all like, this is how you do it. And they're like,
this is how we do it.
Janet Amber pod because like nobody knows.
I wonder if we could like record a cover of that for our intro from now on. That'd be so amazing. We still have to do okay before I leave. We have to do the thing that we've been talking about, the video.
Yeah.
Are you going to Harriet Banshell, Four on the Floor, Smokey and the Bandit thing?
Yes, but when I think is that? It's the is that a Thursday?
I think
it's
so.
The day before Thursday. the DNC summer meeting, which is here.
Ooh.
And I kind of want to go and see Hillary.
Yeah.
Hillary and Bernie. I mean, I want to see everybody. I'm on the fence. I haven't decided, but.
Right.
Who?
I'm choosing. I didn't even know that. I'm so out of the loop.
Oh, that's okay. They send me emails.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. And I'm like,
but
what
I'm thinking, though, is that if we go to the Harriet, Four on the Floor, Smokey and the Bandit thing, we could maybe grab some friends to help us make this thing that we've been talking about making.
That would be, maybe we should create some sort of Facebook group.
Maybe.
To be like, hey, who's going to help us?
Yeah,
help us.
Or just be like, come over and like help film us do this really dumb thing that we want to do.
We know enough people. Let's do it.
Yeah, okay, totally.
We're on it.
Yeah, we should do it.
You're going to see something pretty cool before we leave because we're not going to be in the same place for a while.
It's going to be awesome. I came up with another one too. I can't remember now, but it was during one of my all-nighters when I was working on the book. And a song came on. I'm like, oh my God, we kind of have to spoof this song. But I don't remember.
We should try to do a, how do I make money with this?
We have to.
Because then you can do them in Portland and I can do them here.
Yes.
And then you can be like, you know, you can hit Portland and I'll hit Minneapolis and we're going to make this like the Midwestern version of bicoastal because it's not in the Midwest. Or
right.
It's on the coast.
What would you call it? Because it's Midwestern and then it's West Coast. So it'd be like Midwest.
Mid-coastal.
I mean, technically it's Midwest. Yeah. Mid/West.
Mid-coastal.
That's going to go. Cool. Yeah. I'll ask panhandlers and be like, how do I make money with this?
They're like, look sad. Make a good sign. Don't make it look too good.
Only wear khaki, army green, and black.
Look dirty.
Get
and
some
sad.
Piercings.
We're not nice. This is really bad. That's not cool.
It's not untrue though. Albus, when he was here for the podcast, we were talking about street kids or gutter punks. I feel like gutter punks might be a derogatory term, but at the same time, I'm like, no, but like, that's kind of what they call themselves.
You're a crust punk or whatever.
Something. I don't know. But then is it like a minority being able to call themselves a thing because it's their experience? So like, we shouldn't call them that because it's not our experience.
I don't know. Maybe we should go around being like, ask a crust punk. Or ask a gutter punk, what would you like to be called? A person? Fair enough. Have a nice day.
A human?
Sorry, that's not an option.
We're all humans. You have a different experience than us. You live on the street. You play drums for beer money.
Are you a street urchin?
I want to be a street urchin so bad. I tweeted about it on like a month ago or whatever, where I'm like, all I've ever wanted was for me to be like the benevolent but also sassy leader of a group of street gang kids, of street urchins, and we all sing songs together and do questionable things for money.
The Amber Warriors.
Yeah. Or like Oliver Twist.
Yeah.
But I'm the leader. Yeah. So I'm like, so if you don't like your kids, bring them to me. Yeah. I'll take care of them.
We're going to start a fucking revolution. Yeah. You're not invited.
It's my ragtag band of like singing, dancing street urchins.
Your ragtag band of fuck 'em ups.
Go fuck 'em up. Yeah. No, and then Megan tried to compare me to Miss Hannigan, and I was like, excuse me. Who? I am lovely. Miss Hannigan from Annie.
Who's Megan?
Megan Fortis.
Oh, yes, of course. Yeah. Sorry, Megan.
She's like, so like Miss Hannigan. And I'm like, Megan, no, I am lovely and benevolent. Miss Hannigan is not. How dare you?
She's mean.
She's mean. She's really not mean. Lovely.
Not at all.
No.
But Carol Burnett is lovely.
Yes. But in that role, she's not lovely. Even no. Cameron Diaz is like, this is what you would look like if you were not a movie star, which kind of makes me feel better. Because you could be anybody.
Yeah, she really could.
Yeah.
A lot of them could.
Yeah. It's true, though. Isn't it? Like, did you ever see those picture series where...
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, Kim like Kanye. Beyonce and Jay-Z. Yes. Yeah. And like, they're wearing like suburban Atlanta outfits or whatever. And it's like, it really does put it in perspective of like, anybody that you know, if they have the right makeup artist... The right hairstylist, like, yeah.
Yeah.
It all depends on that.
I need those things.
I do, too. Because then you think about, like, how many pretty people you know that you're like, you could totally elevate your game by 1,000%, marry an athlete, be a housewife on a reality TV show.
You could be a DMB.
You could be a DMB.
If you're not familiar with what that is, according to friend of feminists everywhere, Ronda Rousey. It's a do nothing bitch.
A couple weeks ago when we were recording the podcast, we kind of talked about maybe talking about this and we decided not to. But then in between that time, this really amazing YouTuber named Albie in Wonderland is, she does a lot of different, she's a vlogger, but what she kind of skyrocketed fame for was doing the fake geek girl video where she kind of just like roasted all these guys, like, because it was when like fake geek girl was like becoming a thing, and like there are all these articles, there was some like bullshit article by some guy who was like talking about fake geek girls and how like whatever it's so dumb, I don't want to spend time talking about it, but she did an amazing video where she's just like, you do not get to qualify somebody else's experience in geekdom. Like, there's no such thing as being a fake geek girl. It's all about like whether their level of experience is whatever, and like, it's totally fine to be whatever you want to be.
Yeah.
So then she kind of came back with Ronda Rousey was doing a documentary interview, and in that interview she talked about, it was kind of this weird thing where like she was trying to defend the fact that like people call her masculine, and she's like, but my butt, like every single muscle is used for a purpose, and I never wanted to be, I think she said like what my mom called a DMB, which is a do nothing bitch.
Yeah, she said her mom raised her to not be a do nothing bitch. Like,
yeah,
her mom didn't coin the phrase.
Oh yes.
No, I'm not right. Trying to shame you for fucking up, Amber. No,
but like, and she kind of like qualified it with women who look really feminine and just use their bodies to marry rich or whatever. So she calls them a do nothing bitch. So then Albie came back with an amazing video of just like, because the whole thing that I just find really, really interesting about feminism these days is that the whole purpose of feminism is the fact that like you should be able to make your own choices without judgment.
Well, yeah, exactly.
And women, especially feminists, and I'm a feminist, so, but there's a certain sect of feminism that feels like you can't be a feminist if you are this or if you're this. And we never see it more often than stay-at-home moms and career women.
Yeah.
There's always kind of that rift. And it's like the whole point of feminism is to give you the freedom so that you're not relegated by society's choice of what you do with your life. Like, you can totally choose what you want to do. And you watched the video by Albie. What did you think?
Yeah, I liked it because it kind of... I mean, I'm not like necessarily defending what Ronda Rousey said, because like... when it happened, I was like, okay, I'm glad that she's like defending the fact that her body is not masculine. That's right. Like people that say that Venus Williams' body is masculine. Yes, guess and what? I don't like it's that. Her body.
Yes, and it's beautiful. It's
beautiful.
Fuck off.
I fucking love, 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 like fucking Serena Williams so yeah. much. She's like the best.
She's a queen.
She's amazing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I like what I liked about Alibi in Wonderland's video is that she was just kind of like, "This has got to stop."
Yes. Like, she does. Like, I am such a huge fan of hers. She does such amazing commentary that is incredibly intelligent, but also entertaining. And it just is, it's very refreshing. It's very accepting.
But it doesn't call out Ronda Rousey for being exactly. right or wrong either.
No, exact. And that's the thing that I love about it is that in like the fake geek girl thing, like she kind of called out the guy for writing the article just because he said really dumb shit. But it is a thing of like, her whole MO is like, we need to accept each other. We need to be each other's fans. We need to lift each other up. And we need to like give each other space to be exactly who we want to be.
Yeah.
Plus, she's fucking hot as shit.
She has pink hair.
I know. Like, so Albie's like whole kind of style thing is looking like a, like kind of like a cartoon character.
Like a frosted strawberry cupcake.
Yeah. But like not in a creepy way. It's more of like, she's just like really beautiful. She has her own sense of self and sense of style. She has like the most amazing pink hair in the entire universe.
And it's all real, she said.
Yeah, it is. And she's done a YouTube video like that tells sorry. You. No, but like she
I saw it.
She tells you exactly how to do. I know, because like the first thing that you do when you watch your videos is like, how can I get that hair? Maybe I should get that hair. I kind of want that hair. Yeah. No, it's fantastic. We'll link to it in the show notes. I highly encourage everybody to watch that video, and I'll try to find the fake geek. I found the fake geek girl actually a couple weeks ago when I was going through my blog archives, and I highly encourage everybody to watch that too.
Well, and I think to a certain extent with Ronda Rousey's like do nothing bitch like
yeah
concept, I get it. There are some people out, but it's like at the same time, like what's the point? You like taking something where someone is, you know, saying, or people are saying that you're too masculine.
Right.
But instead of, you know, attacking the people that are saying it, you're basically just taking some random group, you know, down yeah. a level. And that's...
You're doing the thing that you shouldn't do where, because somebody's attacking you, you turn right around and you attack somebody else. And, like, that's what I didn't like about that. Where I get the context of what she's saying. We're like, I don't appreciate being called masculine, and my body is this way because it has a purpose and because I use it. She could have stopped there and it would have been like, yes. But then she took it a fucking step further and started bashing an entire other group of women.
They weren't even involved in the argument.
Weren't even involved. And she started making swag of DMB shirts and stuff like that. And I'm like, I don't like that. Like, it gets into a whole other conversation of like, when you talk about kind of that, you also should talk about the Kardashians, and you should talk about the Real Housewives, and are they profiting off of doing nothing? Kind of. Is it completely their prerogative to do that? Absolutely. Like, I get like the thing when people get annoyed with Kardashians of like, you're famous for being famous. Sure. But at the same time, like, if there wasn't a whole population of people that appreciated that, they wouldn't have any money.
Well, yeah.
So if you're going to be mad at them, it's just, it's misplaced rage, I think. Yeah. It's like the people you should be mad at are the people who are like buying their books and buying their clothes and like all this other stuff. Like they're just doing their thing. They're making their life choices. They have every right. I was talking about it with my friends, Kara and Christy, on the way to Kara's wedding dress shopping, and was just kind of explaining my viewpoint where I'm kind of like, you know, it's that thing of like gold digger and like using basketball wives and kind of this thing. And like, I'll be straight with you. Like, I would be totally fine with marrying somebody rich and being like, nope, this is great. My lifestyle is being taken care of. I would do other things with that.
You wouldn't be a do nothing bitch.
No, but at the same time, like if somebody wants to be a do nothing bitch and like they married rich and they're living a comfortable life and they get to stay at home and do whatever they want to do, that's totally fine to me. Like, yeah. I watch Alexis Bledel on The OC, and she works fucking hard for that body. She puts a lot into her appearance. Like, you could almost say that that's her job. Whether or not she's furthering the feminist cause, like, that's on her. Like, I don't know. Sometimes I just come to a point where I'm just like, I don't kind of fucking worry about what you're doing with your life. Like, You make your choices. You do what you need to do. And I'll just be over here, like, doing my shit.
Well, it's not about us fighting with each other.
Exactly. That's exactly it. Where it's like, why are we...
That's what the patriarchy wants us to do.
Well, yes. But, like, that's the thing about the Ronda Rousey thing where it's just like... I mean, it started out with men calling her body masculine. So then instead of, like, calling it back on them and being like, sorry that I don't fit into your accepted viewpoint of what you think I should be as a woman. Instead, she like...
But that's your problem. You deal with that.
Yes. Instead, she like turns the heat on another sect of women where it's just like... I don't know.
But it's also her... Like, she wants to start that battle. That's whatever. That's cool. It's not cool, but...
I just feel like it ushers us into a whole other section of like shaming.
Yeah.
Of shaming other women. Like, sex shaming, masculine shaming, like, all this other bullshit. Like, now we're shaming women who, like, are attracted to that, like, feminine body type and, like, have, like, the polished look and, like, try to, like, live their lives a certain way. Like, why are we fucking shaming each other?
Let's just do our thing. And yeah. And if we want to be involved in other people's thing, great. Let's be a bunch of little Fonzies so we're not all fighting at each other like the Republican Party.
Speaking of the Republican Party, God, we're good at these segues. So, Bad Lip Reading came out.
Have to watch it. Just press pause. Pause it. Show notes if you haven't seen it. Press pause right now. Watch it like 3 or 4 times because you wanna. You know you want to.
It's a Bad Lip Reading of the GOP debates, and it's. I don't feel like it was the best one that I've ever seen from them, but it's
those
really good.
NFL ones make my life.
I don't even fucking like the NFL, and I love them. Yeah,
those ones make my life.
I love like the Sarah Palin one.
We gotta be coming up on one real soon because we're like two weeks out till like NFL season.
They always do it at the end of August, beginning of September.
I can't wait.
I know it's gonna be real good.
It's my favorite. Just like go to the fancy pawn shop and get a beard. Like fucking all of them. My favorite one from one of the NFL ones is where the ref comes out. He's like, so, this is like a girl the other day went back to her place full of floor bags. She's got bean bags on the floor. She's like, go pick up your floor bags. You're not living in Southeast Asia. they're all so good.
I do love it whenever we're in campaign season because when they spotlight a certain candidate to do bad lip readings of, it's my favorite. Yeah.
Oh, my favorite part of the GOP debate one is when they all start singing. When they're doing their singing. Oh my God.
And they're doing their closing remarks in the form of a song and it's all different songs. It's so good.
It's so good. And Scott Walker, I'm just waiting for like him to like pull a zipper like down his face and he's like a fucking alien.
And he's like Kevin Smith.
Idiot bug. Just fucking he's like literally just a giant asshole. Like, just a giant puckered asshole with legs. Not even any arms. And then he poops.
This is what it looks like when I talk.
Just falls out of his butt like a dog.
All right, moving on. You hit my meter. You were like right there where I'm like, I'm comfortable with this. I'm comfortable with this. And I was like, ugh.
And I was like, no, I'm explaining the poop. I'm so sorry. I don't know what made me this gross. I guess it's just fucking natural. Hold on. I got to pass some gas. Just kidding. See, I can't stop.
Can't stop. Won't stop.
No, I will stop. I did not do the thing I said I was going to do.
Well, that's good. So let's talk about the other serious topic of the day of currently right now.
Yes.
So this is, if I were the person that would write think pieces, the think piece that I would write right now is, how do you appreciate someone's talent while also knowing that they're a huge fucking asshole as a person? Like, they're a shitty human being.
Just a bad person.
Yeah. Because we've seen this lately with Cosby, where...
It's easier for me to, like, with what we've all kind of, like, seen come out and with depositions and everything we've heard about Bill Cosby, it's really easy to be like, all right. But then you have to, like, make... peace with the old, like, saying goodbye to, like, what was in your head years ago, and you're like, no, I'll just erase that.
Yeah, and I think that that's what's hard, is that, like, I mean, we've seen a couple of different public figures have things like that happen, and it, for me, it's a struggle where it's, like, it's not like a death, but it's that thing of, like, trying to separate, like, here was the talent that you had, here is the good that you did with this talent, and now that I find out that you're actually a really shitty human being, like, how do you reconcile that? So what happened this week was that, so Straight Outta Compton premiered, and then Dee Barnes was interviewed by Gawker, and they kind of did this thing where they had her watch the movie with them and then add her commentary. If you don't know the history, and I feel like a lot of people from our generation like have heard rumblings, but we weren't on the forefront of when this stuff was happening.
Yeah, no.
So when NWA was starting to be formed, Dee Barnes was the host of a show called Pump It Up, which like used to be, I mean, it was like MTV Red. Like, it was fucking awesome. And they did a lot of really like cutting edge interviews with hip hop artists at the time. And like, for those who are not of our generation or in our younger, like, hip hop used to be like a renegade thing. And so all of a sudden we started seeing like all these different artists like NWA, Snoop Dogg, Yo-Yo, like start coming up and be on MTV. And it was just kind of like this revolution of like, holy shit. And Dee Barnes was at the forefront of that, being a black woman and also being a host of a very successful TV show. She befriended some of the members of NWA, particularly Dre. And there was, the details are kind of murky because there's different, like, whatever. But so basically the way that it went down was that Ice Cube, there was like a disagreement. I'm trying to say this in the most simplest terms because otherwise it'll take the whole hour. So Ice Cube was in a disagreement with the group and leaving the group.
Yep, basically. Yes, when he was in the process of leaving NWA.
Right. So at one point, Pump It Up cameraman caught Ice Cube making incredibly inflammatory remarks towards the rest of the members of NWA. And they weren't there. He was like talking to the camera and like telling like all these like really like incendiary remarks. Dee Barnes tried to stop that footage from being aired and basically like put it in the most simplest terms was like, these guys are going to shoot each other if you air this. And the powers that be told her that she was being too emotional. They aired it. Dr. Dre ended up pushed her down a flight of stairs, smashed her head into a wall, pulled her into a bathroom, held the door shut with his leg, and mercilessly beat her. She brought charges against him. It was settled out of court, but it kind of became public record. And since then, there's actually been a couple of tracks that Dre has been included on where it's even been alluded to in the rap lyrics. Like, since then, she was blackballed from the industry. People just wouldn't touch her. And one of the cameramen for Pump It Up, that was actually behind the camera when Ice Cube said these remarks, is the guy who actually was in charge of this whole entire movie coming out, Straight Outta Compton. Gary Gray.
F. Gary Gray?
F. Gary Gray.
Seriously?
Yep. Yeah, he was a cameraman.
Okay, I didn't know about that.
Yeah. Like, so her whole thing now is the fact that like they completely ignored that part of NWA history in the movie.
Yeah.
And she even said in this Gawker article, and we'll link to it in the show notes, that obviously Dre will never, like, he'll never own up to what he did. And he just continues to blackball her and ignore her and like act like it was all her fault. But Gary Gray is the person that she has issues with because she's like, he was there. Like, he was involved. Like, he knew that it happened.
Yeah.
So the fact that they willfully ignored that part of the movie, and like, there's been a lot of commentary this week too about like the only women that are like even featured in the movie are naked dancers at the pool parties or naked girls in their videos and stuff like that. And Dre actually, like, he went out with a couple of other women that were kind of involved in the music scene around that time. He assaulted a white female rapper, I think, at the Grammys. And that was on public record, too. Like, that was a huge thing. Like, he punched her. He gave her a black eye. And then he had a girlfriend that he used to beat up, too, who, like, helped collaborate on a couple of tracks, too. Like, their entire, like, kind of whole involvement with NWA, like, they were, like, revolutionary with that. And, like, Sonic Boom or what? Supersonic Remember that rap
JJ Fad.
Yeah. So Supersonic, like, this is something that I remember just like from watching MTV religiously. So Supersonic was a cutting edge all female.
It was like, JJ Fad was the band, the group. Yes. And then Supersonic was their hit.
No, you're right. Yes. I always get that.
Which is like one of my favorite fucking like rap tracks
but
of all time.
But they, like, them coming out and being a commercial success literally fucking paved the way for NWA because it was on the same record label. And NWA couldn't, like.
Well, Dr. Dre produced that record.
Right, yeah. And they became a commercial success. And then NWA, like, they literally paved the way for NWA to, like, come out and actually be viable. They don't even, like, address, like, it's one of those movies where it's, like, you literally, I don't know if this is right, like, using the term whitewash, like, scares me. But, like, it's this thing of just, like, we're just going to erase all the women.
They blurred it out. They erased it out.
We're just going to erase all the women in the history of NWA. Like, any involvement, any way that they helped us, like, it's not even...
Mothers, girlfriends, wives,
right.
Fucking
it's just
whatever.
About, like, naked... It's just about naked chicks at our party.
Yeah, like, what do they think they are? Two Love Crew? Sorry.
But, like, it is that thing of, like, reading Dee Barnes' commentary on it and, like, kind of hearing about it. I think I was, like, 13 when this stuff happened. So, like, not a lot of, like, acknowledgement. And obviously, like, it wasn't a huge part of public media. But I remember hearing rumblings about this. But it was just that thing of, like, reading it and being confronted with it and just being like, this guy is a fucking asshole.
It goes beyond being an asshole. I mean, yeah, it's just...
It's
a bad fucking man.
But it just, like, it caused so many thoughts about, like, how do you reconcile, like, the talent and the influence that he has had, not just on, like, hip-hop, but, like, the larger music scene.
Oh, absolutely.
We can all agree on that. But it is that thing of, like, you read this article and you're just like, I want... fucking nothing to do with Dre. Like, eliminate all of his songs from my library. Like, I don't want to give him anything. It just, like, it seems like this past, like, year we've been confronted with a lot of that, of just like, here's, like, people that we thought were our heroes, and then the stuff comes out that we may or may not have known, but, like, now we can't ignore.
Yeah,
it's just, I don't know. I mean, I'm definitely not gonna go see Straight Outta Compton. Like, it's, I was going to go see it before, and now I'm just like, fuck that bullshit. Like, if you're going to tell the story, and, like, the whole point of Straight Outta Compton.
They're not going to tell the story and make Dre look bad.
Right. But, like, the thing that I thought was really ironic of reading this was, like, the whole point of Straight Outta Compton was trying to show this, like, super raw rap group. But then, like, you read the context of, like, the way that they're trying to show them, and it's like, well, we're super raw, but we're also really nice guys. You know, and it's like, that wasn't true at all.
Yeah.
So it's this thing of, like, if you're going to do, like, a biographical film, like, fucking show the shit that happened. Like, show the real, like, you don't have to be like, yeah, he totally hit Dee Barnes. But, like, don't ignore it. Like, it was in the press. It was a huge fucking deal. And you completely, like, glossed over that. I don't know. I don't know. It upsets me a lot.
No, like, and pissed. I mean, yeah, no, I understand. I'm not trying to be like, no, it's all, whatever, fuck it. Like, I get it. But I don't mean, yeah. Like, not like that, but... Of course they're going to leave it out. Of course they are.
What I really want to see is...
From what I understand, I mean, I haven't looked, but I mean, is Dr. Dre one of the producers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. So, yeah, no.
But I really... It just is one of those things where, like, now I want to see a movie of Dee Barnes. I think it's Michelle A. I think that's how you say your name. I want to see Dee Barnes, Michelle A. I want to see Yo-Yo. I want to see, like, those women represented in a movie that's kind of like, here's the second real story. And I feel like it's going to get traction because, like, Dee Barnes is writing her biography right now. And at the end of that Gawker article, she's like, I'm looking for a publisher. And you know somebody's going to snatch that shit up. They have to. Like, if they don't,
you have
I
to
will.
Tell
I'll
it.
Be like, I'll give you all my money. Like, let's make this book. I don't know. I mean, I just think, like, it's because I remember Yo-Yo. I remember when she came out and I was just like, this chick is so, like, we didn't have anything like that. Like, white or black. Women that were just, like, rapping or, like, Salt-N-Pepa was maybe, like, the only thing, but, like, that was
MC Light, you got, like, Queen Latifah.
But, like, Yo-Yo was, like, hardcore.
Well, yeah,
you know
absolutely,
what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I'll link to the article in the show notes so people can read it and then tell us your comments on our Facebook page because this is something that I'm, like, it's incendiary to starting a larger conversation that I think we really need to have.
Yeah. And fucking burn your Beats by Dre headphones.
Ugh,
just kidding. Don't, because it doesn't help.
No,
dirty bottom.
It just, like, it makes me so mad because it's just this thing of, like, I don't know, this, like, artist that I was just like, Dre is amazing. He's awesome. Like, I love, like, everything that he does. And then, like, being confronted with this stuff, I'm just like, I can't support it. You know, and it's just like, fuck you. Like,
well, it's stuff we've forgotten, you know, like stuff we should have known beforehand, you know.
It is stuff that we should have known beforehand. That's the thing where it's like, it shouldn't have been whitewashed back then. And I am afraid it's going to become like the Kobe Bryant thing.
Yeah, like it should have been swept under the rug.
He's innocent. She's guilty. Like all this other bullshit. And it's just like, you cannot fucking, it's going to be like the Cosby thing again, too, where it's like people want to believe he's innocent. So they're going to make her to look out to be the bad guy. But like, it's fucking public record. Like he assaulted her.
It's public record. And the director of the movie was like the cameraman that fucking day.
Yeah. I know, that was like the most interesting thing, and there's like a picture of him in that Gawker article, and it's like, ooh, you're not gonna come out of this.
Well, everybody wants to get on the fucking money train. Do you know what I mean?
It's totally.
Like, well, you know, I know it's bad, but meh.
I don't know. I just
fuck it.
No, I don't know. Whatever. So yeah,
I should have thought about my feelings a little bit more and researched it. Well, my arm is being ripped off.
I know. Bubba is Bubba has been very anxious the past 2 days because he can tell that I'm moving. Like yesterday, like I could not go anywhere without him like following my footsteps. And I was like, oh, I'm so sad. But yeah, so now he's very anxious when other people are around too, and he wants like all the attention.
Yeah, I'm sure everyone can hear this. I should stop.
Yeah, maybe you should stop. Maybe you should focus on the podcast.
I am. I know. I can multitask. You're like, no, you can't.
All right, so let's talk about the thing that we've been waiting to talk about. So Ashley Madison had a breach of their information a couple weeks ago, and the hackers have been holding on to the information, and then it was last night that they finally...
Or like yesterday morning or the day before. Whatever.
Yeah, well, they did a press release, and I think it, like Wire magazine was the first one who picked it up. And we're sorting through the information. Then today,
does Wired like pay them, or do they just don't?
I think they chose Wired.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. I just saw it on Wired, but I know they were the first ones who like picked it up. And then today, names started coming out of people.
Did you hear any other names outside of the one that I have that is the most fun to talk about? Because he's such a fucking holier than thou piece of shit.
The thing I want to preface though. Is that one of the email addresses that was used was the former prime minister Tony Blair. So the one thing that they want people to understand is that like other people could have been using other email addresses to sign up for accounts too.
Well, yeah.
So, but anyway,
do we think Tony Blair was one?
No,
of them?
I don't.
Of course not.
No.
Why? Why? Anybody else?
Nope, I just heard Tony Blair, and then I heard this one right here.
Well, and honestly, like, this one, it's not like he's, like, fucking famous or anything, but it's just not a good...
But he is, though.
It's not a good year to be Josh Duggar. Mm-mm. Well, I mean, it's not a good life to be fucking Josh Duggar, because he's a piece of garbage hiding behind his god.
And his family. And so, his family. Anyways, so, Josh go on with your bad self.
Had a couple accounts. I don't know.
Do you think it's Josh Duggar, though, or do you think it's somebody else, like,
no, I absolutely posing? Think it does, because it was his address.
Okay.
Like, his actual, well, the house that he was living in, his grandmother's house.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, does it really matter? This is far beyond not even as bad as what he did to his sisters,
that's
all true. Right?
Yes.
Like, no, which is awful.
That's a very, very good point. All right, so go on. I didn't, because... Just for listeners so that they're aware, like, I didn't dig into this, but Jen did, so she's going to take over.
Oh, basically, I just copied and pasted it because I was, like, reading all the, like, things. Because basically, on the article that I was reading, it's like, the data makes it clear that Josh Duggar was paying Ashley Madison in order to find someone to perform the following acts. And then I was like, oh, those all sound good. Like, like not from him, but
from somebody.
I know, I was like, I'm not going to read these all because I'm not going to read any of them, actually, because that just is like
I want,
weird.
Yeah, I think you need to read them. Yes, I want to
Should hear. I read them in your favorite Southern voice?
Yes, yes, please.
Because
do it.
I am a man and you are a woman. I listened to our certain episodes this week for the funny parts, you know, where I was being funny. And that one where I said fat pussy a bunch of times because it just was amazing. I'm sorry. I'd be so proud of myself.
And your Southern accent is the best. And your fat pussy.
My fat pussy. It's like, I took it too far. Fat pussy. I'm so happy. And then the one of the, like, the third episode we did, we were talking about the Brady Bunch.
Yeah.
The right now you're a sailor. That one.
That's my favorite.
Sorry. Greatest hits. Anyway. All right. So this is what he wants to find someone to do. Conventional sex. Oh, that's good. Experimenting with sex toys. All right. Bring your own. One night stands. Duh. Ashley Madison, dummy. Open to experimentation. That could mean all kinds of things. They could, you know, cook Thai food. Oh, gentleness.
Oh my god, it's totally Josh Duggar. It's totally him. Because if you were gonna like pretend to be him, it would be way different. Yes.
Oh yeah, that's true. Because none of this is someone who can teach me. Teach you how to doggy?
Aww.
Someone I can teach. Yeah, you disgusting fuck. Sorry. Good with your hands. I love saying sensual massage. Extended foreplay / teasing. You're a molester. That has nothing to do with foreplay. Sorry.
I want you to say sensual massage.
Sensual massage. Oh, thank you, Josh Duggar, you gross human being. None of this Ashley Madison stuff. I'm like, you know what? You can, you know, you're pretending to be moral. We know you're not. We knew before.
Right.
But, I don't know. It doesn't, like, cuddling and hugging. Yeah, do that with your wife, okay?
Yeah. That's what your wife is there for.
Sharing fantasies. Yes, also, you can do that with your wife. Sex talk. Maybe you should do that with a licensed health professional. Oh, okay, here we go. What he offered to potential suitors. Although suitors, isn't that a word for men?
Well, is there like a female equivalent? Bubba, get out of here. Sutress.
Female liaison.
Yeah, female liaison.
All right. A professional, well-groomed. Stylish.
I suppose. I bet the Duggar wives did not wax.
Oh, stylish, classy. Yeah. Casual jeans, t-shirt type does not compute with it.
I bet jeans is like his biggest thing ever. God. Because nobody wears jeans.
Nobody wears jeans. Jeans are the best.
Yeah.
All these things. Don't care. Girl next door. Naughty girl. These aren't original. I mean, these are like what you click on to choose.
Oh, okay.
You know where you choose like likes.
It's not him like typing out a list of being like, I want the girl next door, but also a nutty girl next door.
Like where you can select from boxes and the data. And all that stuff is whatever. But then it gets towards the bottom. Discretion, secrecy. Why is there even a box for that? You're on Ashley Madison. Whatever.
Yeah.
High sex drive. See, no, these are all dumb. Has a secret. So this is what he offered, that he had a secret love nest.
Oh, yeah. Using the Duggar money for a secret love nest. Ugh,
a good listener. Yeah, you're going to need a good listener.
Everybody wants a good listener.
They're not going to get divorced. They don't get divorced.
No.
So,
but like, don't you think that like every single guy who has an affair, he wants somebody who's a good listener? Prostitutes say that all the time. We're like, most of the time, they just want me to listen to him. Yeah, you should pay somebody to listen to you. It's true.
Yeah, it's called a fucking therapist. The court should have ordered that for you back in the day.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I guess that kind of, this whole thing fizzled out in the back end, but.
Yeah. You know, honestly, I'm not surprised, and I will just say it from.
I'm not surprised either.
Being from the Bible camp world and the Bible camp college world, I was actually just thinking about this the other day that. It's sometimes I feel bad for the women too, but sometimes I feel bad for the men who are kind of in that world, because there's a very, and I am no way saying that I feel bad for Josh Duggar, but I'm saying from the context of there's a very real like judgment against men. Like, you're not supposed to look at porn. You're not supposed to have like, sex is supposed to be like a sacred, beautiful, soft thing. Like, it's not supposed to be dirty. It's not supposed to be like fantastical. Like, you're not supposed to fantasize about other people at all. Like, you're not even supposed to like fantasize.
Yeah.
Like, the whole like thing about it is that like, it's a sacred union of God, which like gets fucking boring when you marry somebody when you're 21 and you're with them for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Like, thinking about some of the guys that I knew at Bible camp who are married now, it's interesting to me to see them on Facebook and be like, buddy, you probably look at porn every fucking chance you get. Because, like, it just is something that, like, you're not allowed to. So that makes it even more taboo.
Well, yeah.
When you marry a certain Christian woman, like, having those conversations about sex and having, like, that kind of, like, I would like this or I would like that. Like, there's a lot of judgment.
Well, yeah.
Like, it would be really hard to have that conversation with some of the girls that I knew in Bible camp. Like, they'd be like, why? What? No, I'm not.
We can't even talk about that.
I'm the mother of your children. Yes, it's totally that thing. So, yeah, I mean, it never surprises me when I see pastors or men of God, quote unquote, like, go to prostitutes or get caught, like, having affairs. Like, I'm sorry. Like, you make this world that's very clustered and cloistered and very, like, judgy. Of like, and sex is a thing where, like, you should be free to, like, experiment and communicate and do that. Yeah, and, like, when you're not able to do that, yeah, like, then you don't. Yeah.
Well, yeah, exactly. And then that it can be really overwhelming, and you do things that aren't necessarily, like, within what are supposed to be your values.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, especially when it comes to sex. It's a thing of passion.
You gotta figure that shit out.
I don't know. Sorry, some of you guys who got married when you were 21 to girls that you knew 3 months after we were Bible counselors, but you're real bored with your sex life, and I'm real sorry about that.
Although you may be...
You made your bed.
You may be just fine. You may have been very pleased.
I can maybe tell you two guys that I'm like, you're doing okay.
I just want to be hopeful for them.
I don't know.
Because doesn't God want us to have sex, like, and enjoy it? Like, otherwise, why would we enjoy it?
Yeah.
I mean, people's God. I mean, I don't know. I haven't decided. I'm pretty sure that I'll believe in God when I'm like 70 years old because, you know, I'm going to die soon. But, or maybe not. I'm still figuring it out. I'm not going to say yes or no. I don't know.
My favorite story from Bible camp in sex, in the context of sex. First of all, we were all obsessed with it. But it was this thing of like, we weren't supposed to talk about it. So instead, we talked about marriage. So it was kind of this like code word of like, when I'm married, I can't wait until I'm married, or when I'm married. Like, it was all this thing of like, we're all virgins. We all want to have sex. We're all thinking about it 24/7. But the only acceptable way to talk about it is when we meet, like, when we meet the person that God has created for us. Like, that kind of thing.
That'd be a really good name for a book about, like, you know, kids at Bible camp trying to talk about sex. It'll just be called When I'm Married.
Yes. No, it's true. Like, it just becomes, like, a thing that you learn.
Yeah.
But my favorite story ever is about this guy and a girl that one of my counselors knew from college, UNC, some college in Iowa or whatever. But so they had waited until marriage. And so the night, their wedding night, the guy takes a chair and puts it next to the bed. And she's like, what are you doing? He's like, I want God to watch.
Why not? Doesn't bother me. I'm going to sit a chair by me and be like,
But, like, okay, so this
story, I want Dr. Kinsey to watch. This, like, come down here, Kinsey.
It's told in the context of, like, it's weird when, like, you hear different people tell a story because it's a thing of, like, yeah, I mean, isn't that beautiful? It's such a beautiful concept. And then, like, myself and, like, my best friend Nate were like, that is gross and creepy and disgusting. Like, it was just this thing of, like, that's too far.
God,
like,
doesn't need a fucking chair.
It was just this thing of like, okay, now you're just getting weird. Like, that's gross. And now we're never going to have a good sex life because now you're never going to get that visual out of your head that, like, Jesus is sitting in that chair, like, watching and bang it.
Anybody dead could be sitting in that chair, though. I want Vince fucking Lombardi to sit in a chair and watch me have sex.
Touchdown. Woo, woo, woo. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Who else?
Yeah, it's just, I mean, it's such like a, it's such a weird world, and it's so hard to explain it to some people who, like, who've never been in it, because, like, it seems so, like, when it's like, I mean, it's the movie Saved. Like, when the movie Saved came out, it was hilarious because people were like, this is ridiculous. But, like, the reason why it's funny is because it's actually true. Like, every single character in that, like, Mandy Moore's character, like, everybody knew her at Bible camp. Everybody knew her at Bible college. Like, we knew 15 different, like, Mandy Moore characters from that movie. You know? It's just a thing where it's just, like, prayer works. Like, yeah, which is why I left it. There's amazing people in that community. And they are the ones who are, like, doing the thing that we need them to do, where, like, they love other people. They accept other people. They're doing exactly. great work. But yeah, and those are the people that I'm like, I bet you're having great sex because like you are accepting and not judgmental and like God is a part of your life.
Pulling up a chair for Jesus to watch you have sex.
Pulling up a chair. You're not Jesus going to Ashley Madison. You're like, maybe there's some Jesus themed porn out there. Like, we don't know.
Oh, shit. Yeah, rule 42.
There's got to be.
If you can think about it, it exists.
There has to be some porn where Jesus is the star. Because, like, I have heard of women that, like, fantasize about Jesus. I'm not joking.
Oh, I'm looking up Jesus porn right now.
Yeah. Because he was an attractive guy. Like, not to be sacrilegious.
Well, no. He was an attractive guy in whatever religious sect, like, tells us what he looks like. No one fucking knows.
I mean, we know. Just kidding.
Yeah, he looks like, I mean, he looks like the guy from Collective Soul.
Gross. No, I fucking hate that
not
band.
Collective Soul. Who's the fucking
guy? He looks like Jared Leto.
Well, that too.
Jared Leto looks like Jesus. So really, when you're fantasizing about Jared Leto, you're fantasizing about Jesus.
Although, I looked up Jesus porn, and the second article on here was, Josh Duggar apologizes to Jesus, blames internet porn addiction.
Yep, it's always that internet porn addiction.
Oh my god, this is amazing. This is a really fun part of this. The third one is Jesus in the room when you're looking at porn? The answer.
Yes.
At faith@debt.com. He is. Oh, get it, there's face entire, it, like face it.
There's an entire series of books aimed at teens about like when you're looking at porn, Jesus, like there's pictures, like there's paintings of a teenage boy looking at porn on his computer and Jesus has his hand on his shoulder and like his like hand is like going into like in front of the guy's eyes. Like it's
want
a
that.
Whole thing.
I want that.
I'm sorry. Like porn is fun.
I love porn.
And
don't tell anyone. Oh, wait. Oops.
It can be really fun. I don't know. Like, I do remember being a youth group director because I was a youth director at one point in my life. And we did have, like, a very serious conversation about porn. And I remember what I told them. And I'm still pretty proud of this moment. And I'm just going to sing my own praises for a minute.
Yes.
But I remember what I told them was that the reason why there's so much talk against porn and masturbation is the fact that you... In order to engage in that type of activity, you need to think about somebody in a sexual and sometimes degrading way. And that it's okay to be attracted to people. It's okay to like have those desires. But when it gets into the point where like you're not respecting them as human beings or as like the whole person, if you're just looking at somebody as like a set of boobs... And a set of genitalia.
That's how I feel about you.
Right.
Sorry.
No.
You're telling such a great story, and I apologize.
That's kind of the thing where it's just like, and I remember my friend Autumn could probably back me up too because she was actually in my youth group. But I remember just kind of like, I didn't subscribe to the thing that like masturbation was wrong. And I remember just kind of telling them, I'm like, if you're supposed to wait until marriage, you are a human being. Your body is like a machine where it's like, once you get started, like, your body is built a certain way. So I'm like, masturbation can be healthy. It's the way that you go about it. If you are, yeah, I kind of got real where I was like, if you're engaging in it and you're thinking about like your future husband or wife or making love to somebody, and I'm like, I don't see anything wrong with that. But if you're thinking about like most porn where it's just like a woman is just a tool for you to use for you to get off, I'm like, that's something that I would not. That's, yeah, Jesus yeah. won't be down with that. But yeah, I mean, I don't know.
I think we found our title.
Jesus won't be down with
Episode
that.
Episode 34, Jesus wouldn't be down with that.
I like it. I like it a lot.
It's a possibility.
Yep. Jesus or Jesus porn.
Oh, God, no.
Yeah, we can't do that.
Sorry.
We can do twat talk. We can do a lot of different stuff, but we can't do Jesus porn.
Yeah, no.
We're not the Nerdist.
We could do Jesus junk.
Jesus junk.
Jesus is junk.
Oh my God.
I'm sorry.
You don't know what we're talking about. We could be talking about him having a yard sale.
Yeah, selling stuff that he doesn't need anymore.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
How do we even come close to like saying Josh anything Duger. After that?
I know. What do we talk about after that?
I don't know.
We could talk about Bachelor in Paradise. Speaking of sex, Yeah, so Bachelor in Paradise is getting real good.
This is actually a perfect segue, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind
Bikini
of amazing.
Is crying.
It's so, it's getting so dramatic.
Okay.
And so just like twists here and there. And then, so they had the After Paradise show on Monday.
And there was a special guest that you were excited about.
Yes. It Jason Biggs.
Fucked a pie in a movie.
He fucked a pie. And for people who don't know, he has also been kind of an undercover, amazing live tweeter of The Bachelor. And I don't know if he did this past season. He does West Coast tweeting. So like by the time I'm done, like I'm not looking at my Twitter feed. But so his wife is the one who's the co-host with Chris Harrison.
Okay.
It was super hilarious. It was like they're hitting their stride. Like I was kind of worried the first episode. I'm like, I don't know if After Paradise is going to work.
Oh yeah. We talked about that.
Yeah. But now it's starting to become like a legit show. But the thing that happened that I thought was hilarious was that, so Michelle Money is a former contestant on Bachelor.
Is that her real last name?
Mm-hmm. Yep. So she was on Brad Womack's season, and then she was also on the first Bachelor in Paradise.
Okay.
On Brad Womack's season, she was the villain of that season. She just has a sense of humor that comes off the wrong way. It sounds really bitchy. But then she completely redeemed herself on After Paradise, and she became a fan favorite. So some of the producers of Bachelor in Paradise are also on Twitter, and they're part of my Bachelor Master List, and they're looking for people to call in and like say commentary or whatever.
Are you gonna call in?
Yeah, I didn't call in. I can never think of a question in that context. I'm just like, I don't know. But so Michelle Money had tweeted something, and like the producers like call Millsy was like call in. So she calls in, and they like she says a couple of things, and they kind of cut her off or whatever. And like end the call. And then later she wrote a tweet about like, not to be rude, but who is this Jenny person and why are we supposed to listen to her opinion? Just like a super bitchy tweet about like the co-host, right? I know that Michelle Money is a co-host on some like regional talk show in her area, right? So I'm looking at this tweet and I'm like, you want all of your fans to be like, you should be the co-host. Yeah, she sucks. You should be the co-host. Jenny Mollin saw it and retweeted it, and she said, you're such a class act. I'm so glad we had you call in tonight. It was so amazing. It was like, no matter what anybody else says for you, like for the season, like you doing that to Michelle Money, like I'm now, like I'm your fan, like you are my favorite, like just the fact that she's like, you're such a class act, I'm so glad we had to call in tonight. Because yeah, it's just like, so then I was looking at like other replies to Michelle's tweet, and I'm just like, oh, there's this one girl who's like, who is she and who's like her husband, and I just reply, I'm like, have you heard of this really cool thing called Google? Like, I hate it when people tweet that shit. Like, fucking Google them so you can figure it out.
Yeah,
but like, and if you don't know who Jason Biggs is, like, I'm sorry, you're an idiot. You're a moron. Shut the fuck up. You shouldn't be tweeting. But yeah, it was really entertaining. It was really fun. Yeah. But, and of course, like, there is, like, hundreds who are like, yeah, I hate her. She's so vulgar. You should be the co-host. And I'm like, no, you shouldn't, because you're dumb.
Yeah, stay in your small market and shut the fuck up.
Yeah, I was like, bye, Felicia. Legitimately, I hashtagged that to her. I was like, bye, Felicia. So, yeah. Anyways, but Bachelor in Paradise, it's too much to explain, because, like, it's two nights a week. There's so many twists and turns. You won't be able to keep up. I won't be able to keep up. I'm still like, I should probably do recaps, but I can't because it's so much shit that like it would take me like 3 days to do. I still might do it. I don't know. But
who's the weird chick from this last Bachelor season?
Ashley S.
Yeah. Is she still in there?
She is. And like, she's so entertaining. Like, she's crazy. She is. Like, she's just...
Do you fear for her safety? Or
no,
she's
I don't. Okay. It's not like the season where I was just like, we shouldn't call her crazy. Like, she's having a psychotic break. She is just a very eccentric, weird, crazy person. And I say crazy with quotes. But like, yeah, like she talks to parrots. She has love affairs with crabs. Like, she's just that person that like, she's so entertaining. You know what I mean? And like, but she also seems like somebody that like, if you were friends with her, like, you would adore her. She'd be so, like, weird and out there. Like, she'd never be boring.
Yeah, you'd be like, that really put things into perspective, Ashley.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're weird, and I don't understand you, really, but...
Yeah.
I feel differently about this.
Kardashian is not making a good case for herself, though. Because she keeps calling Ashley as crazy and emotional, and I'm just like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Everybody likes her, so back the fuck off.
Well, everybody likes her because, like, even when she's dramatic, it's funny and it's hilarious. And you are, like, the biggest fucking drama queen. So you shouldn't be calling anybody crazy, you dumb bitch.
Is her sister still on?
Nope, her sister left.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Well, I want her to leave, too. I'm so fucking
she's gonna
sick
go
her
soon.
I hope
you
so.
You think she would? God, people don't... People, from what I used to understand, the guys got sick of girls crying all the time.
Well, the next two episodes are supposed to be, like, legitimate... Like, from the previews, they legitimately look like the most dramatic episodes ever. Like, there's so much crying. There's so much accusations. There's so many, like, yo, bro, you want to go? Like, there's much of that.
Chest pumping.
It's amazing.
Whatever that's called.
Yeah.
Puffing out your chest.
Yep. Alpha male bullshit.
Yeah.
It's so good, though. It's so fun.
And that's Sundays and Mondays?
Sundays and Mondays.
Okay. Maybe.
Sundays is a 2-hour episode.
Okay.
With a cliffhanger.
Okay.
And then Monday is 1-hour episode that wraps it up with a cliffhanger. And then the next hour is After Paradise.
After Paradise. We're talking about real dumb stuff. I mean,
that should be the theme song. We should, like, send the clip in. But yeah.
We should just, like, no one saw what I was doing. It's like I was turning to a camera in my fantasy world.
Yeah, like we're on the Love Boat.
Hi.
I need to think of a question to ask, though, because I want to call in.
You gotta. You fucking
like,
gotta.
Because, like, Bachelor Burn Book called in, Possessionista called in. Like, these are all, like, big life tweeters. And I'm like, I want to be a big life tweeter, too. Jennifer Weiner called in.
Oh, shit, girl. You gotta get on
that. That's right. I know.
She said she wasn't even gonna watch.
I know.
Then she's calling
got
in.
Pulled in. Jenny. And she called. And she's on her fucking book tour.
Jenny.
And Chris Harrison's like, Jennifer Weiner's on her book tour and she still makes time to live tweet. And I was like, what about me, Chris Harrison? I've been live tweeting for the past 5 years and I got shit going on too. And you never give me a call out. You never reply to my tweets. It's going to change, though.
It's gonna
Everything I'm doing for Chris Harrison.
Everything is going. What does he say in The Jerk? Everything's gonna start happening for me now. When he gets his name in the phone book.
Yep. It's gonna happen. All right, so we're kind of at time. Like, we got 4 minutes to the hour, so maybe we make this a nice, tidy little podcast.
Check it out.
Rip it
Episode 34?
Up. Huh?
34.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, we double threes last week. We've moved out of that phase of our lives. We're feeling really good about 34. We're going to pretty soon catch up to our age soon. We should do something real cool then.
We're feeling real good about 34, but we're kind of like, well, I don't know how I'm going to feel about 35. Like, I think it's kind of midpoint. Like, what
man.
Am I going to do? Yeah.
Am I going to have a baby?
Yes. It's kind of like, oh, God, once I'm 35.
I know. I said if I didn't have babies by the time I was 35, I wasn't going to. But then I
said it was going to kill myself.
Really?
Just kidding, I didn't.
Well, I wish you had. Just kidding. I would never. I'd cried, you fucking asshole. Don't do that. Well, thanks for joining us, you guys.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bye. We love you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Pizza Rainbow. For this and other great podcasts, check us out on mathishard.net or go over to iTunes where you can subscribe, rate, review us.
For more of Jen Paulson, you can follow her on Tiger Beat Poet, or you can check out her blog at
letscallitawesome.tumblr.com.
You can also check out my website at amberlcarter.com or follow me on Twitter at amber_lcarter. See you guys next week.
Bye.